You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Hi again, and welcome to the Weekly Leader Training for the Gospel Project for Kids and Preschool. On this episode, we're talking about Unit 21, Session 3, Jesus and Nicodemus. Mm-hmm. So, Karen, the question always that we start with, the hardest question of the episode. What in the world is the big idea of this session?
Guys, I got to confess, guys, that Brian has a little thing written down on our document, so I kind of have a cheat sheet here. So I got to give
That's
him
what
some
I'm
cred.
Here for.
Yeah. But yeah, that Jesus came so that all who would trust in him for salvation would receive eternal life.
That's that. I mean, this is a complicated conversation.
It really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We deal with some things in this text, not necessarily that we have picked up in the story this week, but if you read John 3, there are some complicated, and we have to deal with some in this session as well. Mm-hmm. But if you read more fully, that I mean, it's a challenging conversation as Jesus is talking about some things. And but the big idea here, again, always keep your eyes on the big idea, and that big idea is that Jesus is saying, "Hey, I've come to save people, and anybody who trusts in me will have eternal life." Just remember that. Let that be your directional guidepost.
Yeah.
So I've already kind of lapsed into any cautions or extra prep time, and that was the first one I was going to mention, that this is a challenging passage. Karen, is there anything you wanted to say in light of that?
Yeah, I was just going to add to that. Like, I love in the story how, you know, Nicodemus is confused, and I feel like it kind of gives us permission to be confused a little bit, and even for your preschoolers or children in general. You know, it is confusing to think about how somebody can be, like, born again. It's a difficult concept, but again, you know, the mystery of faith, and even just, you know, laying these little foundations for them to grow up and understand a little bit more what these things are talking about.
Yeah, and I've always found comfort. I think it's 2 Peter. It's Peter. It's definitely 1 or 2 Peter. Mm-hmm. I think it's 2 Peter where he mentions that Paul's writings are difficult.
Yeah.
And
his
it's near
sentence
the end.
Structure
yeah,
alone.
Exactly. The run-on sentence is like crazy.
Yeah.
But I've always found comfort in that even Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned, Paul can be hard to read.
Yeah.
And so I think this is one of those great opportunities for us to recognize that there are some things in Scripture that are hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not pretend with our kids. I mean, especially those of you who are teaching younger or older kids or preteens, there may be some questions raised that you may not have the answer. It's okay to say you don't know.
For sure, yeah. I even think it's good to say I don't know.
I agree.
Mean, I think it's good for kids to know that we don't have all the answers and we're not going to this side of heaven. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, as parents, it's another thing. My wife and I have really tried to do this with our kids, to be really apparent with them, or transparent rather, and say, no, I don't know.
Yeah.
And as you're saying, that not only do we teach properly that God is bigger than us, but also we develop trust.
Yeah.
Because if we always seem to have an answer, kids are smart. They can usually tell, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How come Mr. Brian answers everything? Is he really that smart? I don't think so. He doesn't act that smart. So that is another thing that we're doing is we're developing trust in them.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say about a caution or extra focus of this session is we really want to do our best to tie this back with what happened in Numbers 21, because that's what Jesus does. He mentions the serpent lifted up on the pole. So you want to be familiar with that. Take some time. Grab your Bible, of course. Read Numbers 21. Be refreshed by that. We've covered this earlier in the cycle. If you've been tracking with this the whole time, you have that in your background, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, several years.
Yeah, so you want to refresh and remember what happened there, where God's people are in the wilderness. They're belly aching because they are thirsty, and so God sends these poisonous or venomous, as Sam, our younger kids' content editor, likes to point out, it should be venomous serpents to attack them, and they bite the Israelites, and it's a fatal bite. But then God, in His kindness, says, Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to fashion this bronze serpent, lift it up on a pole, and whoever looks at that serpent raised up on the pole will be healed.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And if you think about it, here's the connection. It took faith to look upon that bronze serpent.
Mm-hmm.
And that bronze serpent, they're looking at an image of what has brought death to them.
Mm-hmm.
and they're looking up on at that bronze serpent, and they're taking their eyes off of the other serpents running around or slithering around. I guess serpents don't run. Mm-hmm. And they're taking their eyes off of that, and they're looking at that in faith, trusting that doing something that makes no sense whatsoever will save them.
Yeah.
And that's a picture of the cross, mm-hmm. that God sent Jesus, who became sin, on the cross, that when we look to him in faith, which makes no sense, and mm-hmm. look at the object of what brought death to us, we are saved.
Yeah.
And so that's Jesus's point here. And so you need to have Numbers 21 fresh in your mind, mm-hmm. And your heart, at least so you can, as you're teaching this, you're understanding it. And especially for older kids, younger kids to a degree, it's great to bring that back to their recollection.
Yeah, yeah. I love to just have to throw this in. The only action required on their part was to look at the snake, you know, just to turn and look. Mm-hmm. And I just love that that's all that's required of us, you know, yep. to be saved, is just to turn to Jesus.
All right, so I'm going to start singing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus now.
That's a good one.
It
I
is.
I love that
all
one.
All eight verses
yeah.
are, yeah.
But I also, again, don't forget about your timeline. I just think it's so, I think that's one of the beautiful things. Obviously, I'm a fan of our timeline because I work for the Gospel Project, but just as a teacher, it's really amazing to be able to, like, hey, you may not remember this, but a year or so ago we covered this, you know, and just to show, you know, it's all part of the grand narrative. Yeah, so
definitely. Mm-hmm. All right, what else do you have?
Yeah, okay, so we have a really cool activity in preschool that I hope that you'll do. It's like Define Image. And, you know, again, it really connects to the big picture question about, you know, everybody, all people are special because all people are made in the image of God. And so I love this idea of taking this hard concept and making it more concrete. And so they're just looking at pictures of things in a book, and then, like, is that, like, so, like, let's say you're looking at a picture of a mouse. You know, is that really a mouse? You know, no, it's just a picture of the mouse, and kind of connecting that with how, you know, we aren't God, but we are made in his image, you know, mm-hmm. to reflect him. But then I love our writer for this session, you know, she was like, but Jesus, you know, he is the exact image of God. He is God. So I just thought that was such a great activity. And I just love when we can take these really foundational concepts that can be, you know, a challenge, and put yeah. them in a more concrete level. So
and that's
that
important.
Really
let me just riff off there for a second, mm-hmm. because at times we hear some concerns mm-hmm. that our artwork is cartoon-ish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I say ish at the end because we're trying to make them more lifelike the next cycle,
yeah,
even more so.
Mm-hmm.
But some people would be concerned because they would say, well, kids, preschoolers especially, can't tell real and
yeah,
fiction, and that connotes. And not necessarily. We use it because we don't believe it has to connote. Mm-hmm. And this activity is a
yeah.
good example of how we need to be doing this ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
You do this really well in the preschool content. Whenever we get to the Bible story, mm-hmm. you have something there where you're prompting the leader to say, this is a story from the Bible. All the stories in the Bible are true.
Yeah.
We can believe in it. We can trust in it and so forth. It's the same thing
yeah.
that we need to help kids understand. There are certain things in this world that are true, and certain things are not true.
Mm-hmm.
And even true sometimes, you know, like a cartoon can represent somebody true.
Yeah.
And we can have somebody who looks lifelike in a Hollywood movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not
yeah,
true.
Yeah, that's true.
Or,
yeah.
you know, think about some of, you know, Star Wars
mm-hmm.
trademarked. My kids love that. I do too. But it's not true.
Yeah.
But they look real. These mm-hmm. creatures look real.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if we're concerned about preschoolers understanding and differentiating what is true, it's not the art style that will make the difference. It's how we're teaching them underneath.
Mm-hmm.
It's a skill they're going to have to learn and develop for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, good word.
All right, what else do you have?
Yeah, a couple things I noticed in the Baby and Toddlers Leader Guide. They're going to be doing some book activities. So, again, go to your library, check out some books, add to your collection.
Are you on the payroll of the library?
I mean, I really might be. I just feel like it's such a great resource that we neglect. And books are just so important. So, yeah, so this is
I'm just imagining some poor librarian right now, just so lonely. Nobody's coming. Dust.
Yeah.
Tumbleweed blowing across the lobby.
And then I run in, I grab books, and I run out because I do it all online. But yeah, visit your local library and hang out there. You don't have to do it like me and do it online. But Anyway, yeah. Yeah, use those libraries. Take advantage. I mean, your tax dollars are paying for it, you know? So, but yeah, always preview the books. But specifically with babies, it's looking at books about babies and nocturnal creatures, you know, because Jesus visited Nicodemus at night. Yeah, be sure to preview those. Make sure there's nothing inappropriate. But just the more books in your class, the better. And then another fun activity in the Babies and Toddlers Leader Guide is to throw a birthday party activity. And so if you want to do a special snack for that, you're going to need to plan ahead, and also be sure to think through allergies in your classes.
Definitely.
And posting allergy alerts and whatnot. So, yeah.
Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's all I got there.
So let's get to what we're potentially excited about God doing in this session or through this session, and I'll throw one out. In this session, we're covering one of the most beloved verses in all the Bible. It's our key passage for the unit.
Mm-hmm.
So a kid who has been there the previous couple of sessions leading to this one is rubbing shoulders with it if you're doing the key passage.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time some kids may actually study that verse in context.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's exciting to me that such an important passage that we're putting before our kids as we studied the Bible together.
Yeah, yeah. What I love about this story is that Nicodemus was a Pharisee because, you know, in so many, I mean, the Pharisees typically are the bad guys, quote unquote, because Jesus came to save, you know, all in our Bible stories. And so I just love that this was Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, but he was seeking, and Jesus was kind to him and mm-hmm. Took time with him, you know, to answer his questions and share truth with him. And so, yeah, I just think that's an exciting
yep.
thing. So, yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up there then. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We hope that you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids in preschool. And for more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.
Mm-hmm.